Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. For those who have not overindulged and put themselves into the emergency room and or admitted into a hospital, I want to give you a fair warning. Today is going to be a brutally honest show. We're not going to get into political correctness, but I will tell you that there are some things that are worth, not just worth, I think they're paramount that we kind of talk about. But as you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show on air that will provide you with a constitutional solution and process, a model, all the details you need to know in getting the federal government back into this framework of the Constitution, getting them into scope with the contract. There's nothing worse than when your subcontractor gets out of alignment and starts causing all sorts of variances. And I'll tell you what, if you look at the national debt, that's one heck of a variance, right? So the number to call in is 215-867-8255. As you also know, this show is dedicated. I'm hoping to actually get some more conversations going with state legislators, especially as we get started into the 2019 session. We're literally only a little over a month away, about a month and a half. And so I'm hoping to have those few that have committed already. And I'm actually looking forward to getting others committed and others on board with doing the audit and calling for Republic review. And I don't think this is really rocket science. It just makes sense. And those politicians or those public servants, some people don't like the fact I call them public servants. I mean, what else would you call them? And as a matter of fact, I think in the Constitution, they call it public service. Those who seeking public service should not have to take a religious test, but have to fulfill an oath or actually take an oath and live up to that. But anyway, some people are elected, are politicians. But anyway, our public servants, those who are already aligned and already in support of, and I'll call it the Convention of States, the COSP, I believe those folks are actually the most, I don't want to say vulnerable, but they are the most quick to get this. They'll go, wow, why don't we do this? It literally changes from all of a sudden. See, because if you understand the Convention of States, there's no guarantee that state legislators are going to be the ones going into that. But if you understand Republic Review, state legislators are they're the ones that are going to be the Thomas Jeffersons, Rufus Kings, James Madisons, Alexander Hamiltons, and so forth. Not all of those names are good, but they're the ones that are going to be the players in, at that table, because they're the ones that are duly elected to do the job. So anyway, let me do a little groveling. If you've got some scraps from Thanksgiving, make sure you don't throw them out and waste them. I don't need any, but I do need some of your time. I need some of your resources. If you're willing to help, just give me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And more importantly, if you want to be a part of this email wave and you want to start really holding legislators accountable. And here's the great thing. We don't have to hold legislators accountable just within your district. You can start sending emails to several districts and or several states and all districts. If you really think about the magnitude and the reach that you have an incredible reach using technology. I don't know how many people know where you're coming from. If it's Billy Bob, BillyBob@gmail.com. I mean, where in the heck is Billy Bob at? He's on Gmail? That doesn't give anybody a local feeling. It's the same thing with phone calls. Back in the day, you used to have to pay a toll call. Now it's all unlimited and free. And as I look at phone calls coming in from people that are just down the street with foreign area codes, I go, what the heck is this? Oh, well, everybody keeps their area code. I didn't. But anyway, let me just move on. If you've got time, you've got the resources, just send me an email and or get online and sign up with constitutionclub.ning.com, and you will be able to be a part of history. It literally is that important, and I think you'll actually recognize this, especially when we start really boiling up and getting to the top surface. You're going to see some real impacts very soon. When I say soon, it takes a couple months, but give us a couple of months. You're going to see some impacts, and you're going to go, wow, I was listening to that crazy guy. I guess he's not so crazy anymore. So anyway, and let me also thank you for tuning in. As you know, today's live. I apologize for just playing that, but I got such good feedback on yesterday's show that I played last Friday that I felt it was apropos to just go ahead and play it again. I think it's very important. We're going to actually talk about this today. We're going to have the uncomfortable conversation because we're going to talk about that elephant in the room. Yes, and we'll get to that in just a second, but let me kind of move on real quick. As I always do, I did scour the news. There is no news that is indicating, reporting that the federal government is getting back into the framework of the Constitution. So what we're dealing with is literally just another forward march, status quo. We're going to continue to consume your resources, spend your money, regardless of whether we have the constitutional authority or not. So with the fact that we're living under federal tyranny, the only way we're going to get out from underneath it is by you and I taking action. We do not have time to get everybody involved. I just need to get those patriots that are willing to do this. I don't need a lot. I only need a few of you. Let me prove this point. Step up, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and let me prove this to you. It really doesn't take a lot. And the beautiful thing is we don't even have to rally or muster anywhere specific. All we need to do is have enough people, like with the constitutionclub.ning.com, have enough people in there that's willing to send emails. We can actually start putting pressure, and you'll be surprised how effective pressure is on politicians, especially in 2020. When the time you have the most leverage with a politician is when they need your vote. That's when they're the most vulnerable. And believe you me, I'm about to take advantage, in the best way possible, in the best sense that one can think. So anyway, let me give you something to think about. There's some importance, right, with Washington and the very first Congress. And I want to give you the big picture of what George Washington did. A lot of people, and you've probably heard people argue, this is a Christian nation. We have, Christian principles and a Christian backing and so forth. And you hear all the secularists and you've learned in school that we're not a Christian nation. So who's lying to you, right? Somebody's got to be lying because obviously you have these diametrically opposing positions that either we're Christian or we're not Christian. And actually, if you look today, we are, as a nation, we are an anti-Christian nation. That's how I see it. The government is going after Christianity. They seem to be hands off with everybody else. But boy, if you're a Christian, you better watch out. They're pulling your crosses down. They are going after your nativity scenes in your yard. They are literally trying to shut down Christianity. So the question is, did you read and do you remember what I said for Washington's first proclamation of Thanksgiving? Did you read that? Here is a clear articulation. And oh, by the way, I got to back up. This is not just Washington. I've said this before. And he even says it. He was basically requested by both houses of Congress, both houses, both the Senate and the representatives. And I'm telling you that if you really do the research, it was unanimous. I don't think there was anybody that wanted to say, oh, I'm not supporting that. It was just like a slam dunk. We want Washington to call for a day of Thanksgiving, but it had nothing to do with the hardships of those few people in that teeny colony up in Massachusetts, the Pilgrims. It had nothing to do with those first settlers down in Roanoke or Jamestown or what have you. It had everything to do with recognizing the divine hand and providence in giving us what we needed to create a constitution that has, that was, they recognized that they got something that was well beyond their comprehension. Just understanding the dual, the American republicanism of dual representation was such a forethought. I mean, it was such futuristic thinking. People look at that and go, how did they even come up with that? If you understand what we've done in American republicanism in making sure that the two entities were represented, you the people, and the other entity is the sub-element of government underneath that republic. So at the national level, that sub-element is the states. And making sure that the states have some level of oversight over what's going on in legislation, as well as oversight over their contract. That was never, ever comprehended before. You have to understand that. And so, as you can tell, I've still got some to go through, but I really want to set this up because there's a lot that we got to talk about, and this all has to do with that elephant in the room. So please stay tuned, and we're going to be right back after a word and a promo from me. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So here we had Washington being directed or requested by both the House and the Senate to create a unanimous plea from them in creating a proclamation. The furthest thing from their mind was actually having a big feast and a celebration. And as a matter of fact, if you read Washington's proclamation, it had nothing to do with celebrating, you know, our independence or anything like that. This was the first spiritual holiday we had as a nation. It was literally right out the gate. And as a matter of fact, we did not, because if you understand, Congress went into session. This new government formed when? It was like May of 1789. Did they celebrate the 4th of July? No, they did not. They didn't celebrate the 2nd or Independence Day. That wasn't done until Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, thought it would be a good thing to immortalize himself. And I'm not picking on him, but it was pretty brilliant of the man to kind of highlight our Declaration of Independence because he happened to pen it. And so anyway, but that, you know, so in a way he was kind of self-serving. Jefferson was a brilliant man. And he was a great leader. He definitely delegated and empowered people. But Washington was a very humble man. As a matter of fact, he relied heavily upon Madison and Hamilton, later on Hamilton, to his own chagrin. But the fact is that Washington was so humble that when he wrote that call for Thanksgiving and that proclamation, it had nothing to do with celebrating, letting off fireworks and you know, having a drink or anything like that. What he was calling for was a nation to humble itself and to be thankful to the Lord in offering him service for what he had blessed us with. To me, that Thanksgiving has nothing to do with what we understand Thanksgiving today. And that's why we need to get back to that. That's why I highlighted that in a meme on Facebook. And I know I mentioned this before. And so I think it's paramount that we start focusing. You can have your feast and eat it too. My point is that there are plenty of things and plenty of ways we can all get into service. We're not doing enough and we need to do more. There are plenty of people that are in need of help. But the point is, the problem is that we have a government and an entitlement state that is just out there doing that. There are people that need help that aren't getting, you know, anything. They're being ignored, such as the elderly or people in the veterans homes. You don't have to go down to the homeless shelter. If you have some ideological problem with that, I understand. But I am telling you that we have to get this message out. We have to start understanding the very first. And I got involved in, I sent this post, and that meme regarding the first Thanksgiving that Washington called for under our Constitutional Republic, wouldn't you know that there was one person that decided to take issue with it and tried to correct me on history. And I figured I'd try to help this person. I figured I'd try to hold his hand a little bit and get him where he needed to be. And he was just not getting it. Couldn't see the forest through the trees. So I kind of walked away. And so, because I've got other things to do, I'm not going to let a toxic person on social media just consume my life. So the point is in this message, we are literally shooting a shot across the bow with Washington. If you did not read it, you need to read it. This is a shot across the bow. And because this is literally a poke at the progressives. And I'm telling you, as we start making light of this, the progressives are going to fight this tooth and nail. Do you understand this? This has such ramifications. This is so important in understanding how the framers really thought. They did not create a Christian nation. What they did and what they're claiming in this proclamation is that the Lord created this nation for us. That's a big difference, isn't it? And they were recognizing that, and they were calling on this nation to remember that and to be thankful and to, go in service and serving those and others. Isn't that interesting? It's definitely a paradigm shift from what we're getting out of the progressive school system and the indoctrination centers. This is huge. So I'm hoping that next year you make a point with your family, friends, or whomever you celebrate your Thanksgiving Day, print that out and let people know, put it in context. You know, that person that was trying to correct me on history was telling me, oh, the Constitutional Republic has been in existence since 1776 or 77. I'm going, no, it wasn't. And as a matter of fact, if you read the ratification debates, they clearly called this new constitution that we're living under today, this new Constitutional Republic, was a new government. The old government, the old Articles of Confederation, and the old Confederacy died the day we had a full ratification and a transition into this new government. I mean, there were so many ways that made this new government better and more balanced with the separation of the powers and the checks and so forth. I mean, anyway, it's like... You always get that person that, you know, they're bringing in some ancillary information just to try to make themselves feel better. Like, oh, you didn't know this, did you? And I'm going, really? You're going to challenge me? Obviously, this guy doesn't know who I am, doesn't know I've written a couple books on history. But that being said, let me also point out that if you understand the political correctness that we're fighting and dealing with, America has a right to be, and I don't want to say proud, but we have a right to really look at where we are in position of the world, and we are leaders, and we need to hold our head high and think as leaders and act as leaders. We are the nation that champions individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Now, let me get into some lamenting and some political correctness and manipulation and so forth. First off, if you know anybody that has British descent that is actually a UK citizen or from the UK or Britain, specifically Britain, a Englishman, English lady, then I will tell you that they lament every time we celebrate the 4th of July. I know a few of them. I even know some Australians that kind of lament a little bit because, and maybe it's a little jealousy. Maybe it's that, yeah, we weren't able to get away, but you guys were lucky. I don't get it, but I do get the British sentiment. I completely understand because we were the ones, it was the beginning of their downfall. I mean, they had a great ride, right? They went a couple of, you know, a couple centuries after beating the Spanish Armada and then coming along and dealing with us and then slowly but surely losing their power to us over the next century or so. But in context to that, if you understand what we did in, you know, in separating ourselves and revolting against the tyranny that they were living in, or the tyranny that our forefathers and framers were living under, what we really have is a moment in time where liberty won. We beat the mercantile system. We beat the long reach of the monarchy and so forth. And so we actually took a step in the right direction. And in the same context, people are going, oh, yeah, but what about those Indians? What about the Native Americans? However you want to be referred to, because I know people that don't care one way or the other. They're either Cherokee or what have you, and that's how they want to be known. Nevertheless, when we really look at, and I'll just say Native Americans, when we look at our relationship with Native Americans, when we came here, we were living under the law of nations. And if you understand the law of nations, allowed nations to have conquest, to expand themselves and take over other lands. Is that aggressive? Yeah. Was it aggressive to the Indians or the Native Americans? Well, yeah, but weren't they equally aggressive? I will say this, that if you understand history and you study history, there is no way you're going to walk away from the table thinking that had the Native Americans been able to project power and been able to actually get out with their ships and get out with their manning and, you know, their warriors and so forth, Europe would have been a lot different place because they were brutal. They didn't understand civility. They didn't understand dialogue and entreating and so forth. The only reason we were able to entreat and have treaties with them is because we had superior firepower. That was the only reason, because that's the only way we could get them to the table. If you look at what happened with the Portuguese and the Spaniards in the south of us towards the indigenous people, the Native Americans or the natives south of us, I am here to tell you that they got a much better shake out of how we executed the laws of nations in governing ourselves than what the Spaniards and Portuguese did. I'm serious. If you really look, what we tried to do was we tried to maintain some national sovereignty for them. And I believe that was a mistake. I believe it was a huge mistake. But I can't get into how I believe that was a mistake until we get back. So if you stay tuned, I will get into how letting the Native Americans maintain some national sovereignty was a huge mistake. So I'll be right back after we're from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Anybody that reads the biographies, whether it be Ron Chernow on Washington, and there's a lot of other biographies, anybody that reads those understands that Washington actually was seeking assimilation. He did not want to continually drive and have separate sovereignties and so forth. If you understand the fact that when a nation calls its, you know, calls itself a nation and creates sovereignty, just like the, you know, the different indigenous people or Native American nations, they were nations, but they didn't have land. They didn't understand. They were at a completely different comprehensive level. If you want to call that a spiritual level, I don't know. But I can tell you that they didn't understand literally the grasp of land and land ownership and what have you. In some ways, they were nomadic. And in some ways, they weren't. In some ways, they, you know, lived in a certain area. But I will tell you that you do not understand the real history until you actually read this other book. And let me, because you can actually read my book. I kind of covered this, but A Patriot's History of the United States from Columbus's Great Discovery to the War on Terror. I believe that book came out in like 2004, and it was written by Larry Swikert and Michael Allen. These guys were both history professors, and they went overboard in trying to give you the most accurate data possible regarding the indigenous people. And so in this book, they covered all sorts of stuff. And they literally started identifying all the myths that we have been taught in the National Indoctrination Centers. One of those myths is the disease and deaths. Some people said, oh, well, the white man came here and brought diseases. Yeah, there were some, but there was equal diseases that were taken back, like the plague and so forth, that killed lots of Europeans as well. There was an equal exchange of disease and parasites in intermixing the cultures. It's the same thing with the Africans, because when the Africans, or I should say the slaves that got repatriated to Liberia and establishing Monrovia, when Monroe actually was repatriating these freemen that didn't want to stay here because of racism, what ended up happening is as they went there, a lot of them got sick. Many of them died in repatriating into Africa. Those are the risks you take because they didn't have inoculation and vaccines and those type of things. Medicine just wasn't there then. It was a common problem regardless of where you go and what you did. And so it's not like the whole world was sterile. Everywhere you went, you were dealing with a whole different set of parasites, bacteria, diseases, viruses, and so forth. And so it was a huge misnomer. And they actually even point out how there was just absolutely no way the numbers that they're preaching in school could be correct. So it's really worth reading. Another thing is that they talk about, you know, how, and we learn in school that the Native Americans were very peace-loving. It's the same thing with Islam, right? If you understand what happened to Roanoke, the very first colony that was set up, and then after a year later when they came back, they were all gone, not even a hide or hair. At any point in time, there was never a discovery of what happened to those people in Roanoke, Virginia. Do you understand that? And so that kind of lends to a massacre. And if you understand that when they went to Jamestown and they built themselves a better fort, saying, you know what, we better have a little better defenses and protection. They were not just left alone during the wintertime and so forth. Swikert and Allen point out that the Indians were harassing them because they had stores. The white men had this concept of growing food and saving it, kind of like the ants. Remember the old Aesop's fable of the grasshopper and the ant? And the grasshopper plays all the time, and then the ant saves and puts his food away. And in the wintertime, the ant can survive, and the grasshopper ends up dying. Well, very similar circumstances, because the Native Americans recognize that, hey, these settlers or these white people over there, they've got food. They've stored up their food. So they were stealing stuff and so forth. And they document all of this. This is not like a feel-good story. It is a raw story of the raw truth of how things really were. I know another thing that a lot of people believe is that the Native Americans were conservationists when they weren't. On my way to Wyoming, we passed a point in Montana where there are cliffs. And the Native Americans, when they would hunt, they would just take a big section of buffalo and drive them off the cliff. And they would take what they needed, and then they left the rest to rot. That's not what I would, that doesn't rank in a conservationist book for me. I mean, I know there's lots of people that just want to give people extra credit just because they showed up and, you know, because they've been there all the time. But as far as I'm concerned, that is not conservationism. That is wasteful. And, you know, I know that we weren't any better, but there's plenty of blame to go around for everybody. The fact of the matter is, and I will throw this out there, had the roles been different, had the Native Americans been able to band together, and instead of having their petty fighting, they worked together and created a great society similar to what was going on in Europe, Had they done that, and they where they were able to project their force and to literally travel the world to, you know, to conquer it, like the Egyptians, like the Romans, and so forth, I'm here to tell you that Europe would have been a lot different, because these warriors, because they were very brutal, raw warriors, they were unlike the civilized French at that point in time. It was almost like Genghis Khan going through and leaving death and destruction and mayhem in his wake. That's what would have happened had, I believe, had these Native Americans been able to do what, you know, what we were doing in conquest, literally going and conquering just for the fun of it. Because look at what Genghis Khan did. Genghis Khan swept through Europe. Did he take it? Did he keep it? No, he didn't care. He knew that he would not be able to project his force to hold it. And so occupying it wasn't any point for him. There was no point in doing that. He'd have to spread himself thinner and thinner and thinner to do that. What he wanted to do was he just wanted to cut his teeth a little bit in war and killing people and devastating societies and so forth. And I believe that would probably have been the same situation with Native Americans going through Europe. So just to be honest, you can't just say, oh, well, they were the victims. No, they weren't just the victims. They, you know, as we came in, we actually treatised with them and created agreements and so forth. And it wasn't like they were the only ones, or we were the only ones, I should say, that were non-compliant to the treaties. Just to get that clear, it was a mutual hostility. But I'm telling you, going to now, that was 100 and some years before Washington, almost 200 years. When Washington came along, we were at a point where we were actually assimilating, and they were actually becoming a part of our society. You understand that the Cherokee in the South were the first people to have a printing press and a newspaper. Do you understand that? They actually had a newspaper. They were beating the Southerners, the lazy Southerners at the time, because that's, you know, they just didn't care. It was too warm down there or what have you. They just were not productive. And the Cherokees were actually outproducing them. They were so productive that the Southerners started complaining, and they finally got an ear with Andrew Jackson. And Andrew Jackson is the one that was responsible for the Trail of Tears driving the Cherokee out, because they were actually outproducing and becoming a real economic threat in being assimilated. And that, I'm telling you, is where Andrew Jackson blew it. And that was the beginning of the domestic violence, as far as I'm concerned, because we should have assimilated them, and the path should have been towards assimilation, or that they needed to go on their own conquest and get their own land, and or defend their own land. Because every European nation, every Asian nation, every African nation, everybody was in conquest mode. And that's why Europe was operating on the laws of nations. Everybody was looking for new land to develop and to take over and so forth. It was, if you want to call it, it was the trend. Those were the facts. Even the Native Americans were on conquest, going and taking and killing their fellow tribes and so forth. That's why they couldn't get along. Anyway, if you want to really get a good glimpse, look at that book, A Patriot's History of the United States, and it's by Swikert and Allen. Excellent book. It'll give you some really good insights. If you want even some more insights in a different angle, such as on the spiritual side and so forth, you may want to pick up my book, because I cover that as well. I'll give you a little tidbit. Did you know that the only other, you know how the Israel and the Jews were always referred to themselves as the promised land and the promised people and so forth, that they were the blessed people and promised? Did you know the Native Americans had that same saying and that same philosophy? Did you know that? A lot of people didn't know that, but that's one of the things that I found out as well. And I think that was from a Will Durant book that I remember reading. Anyway, I'm at a hard break, so we'll have another promo and commercial, and we'll be right back with more good info. Thank you so much.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Let me kind of summarize here. I think it's really, really capital R, capital E, all the way across, really important that we start shifting our focus from the pilgrims and that failed socialism and start focusing on the fact that we were granted and we benefited literally from the divine hand of providence in granting us a constitution that is more than just a good model. I'm telling you that it is the constitution that is going to allow us to save our constitutional republic. Not a lot of governments out there have an actual instrument that not only functions as a process for, you know, their day-to-day operations, but it is something that you can use in getting back to the framework of that constitution, that model. And so we need to really start focusing. So I'm just asking you to try to take time next year in reading Washington's Proclamation for Thanksgiving. Try to center yourself on some service. Play down. I mean, you can still have a good family meal. There's nothing better than, you know, getting the family all together. And I know it's one of the number one travel days because that is because it has become a sacred holiday. And it is a sacred holiday, but it's not a sacred holiday where we gorge ourselves. It should be a sacred holiday of service and recognizing the divine hand of providence in forming our Constitution. Nothing else. That's what Washington and Congress had called for in the very first of this Constitutional Republic's celebration or recognition of the Lord in creating this republic. And so let me just move forward on that. I hope that that really impresses you. I hope that, because I'm not trying to harangue everybody here, I'm just trying to really drive a point home that if we start recognizing the things that we should be recognizing, then it helps us get a better balance and a better centering and focus on the direction we need to go, right? So let me give you something else to think about. We all know that an anarchist killed McKinley, President McKinley. If you understand, and remember, I've always said the ends justify the means. If you understand what was going on in the nation, communism was literally coming into America. I'm here to tell you that there is a great likelihood that that anarchist killed McKinley so that Teddy Roosevelt could become the next president, because he had embraced the communist concepts of the Fabian Society. You could clearly see as soon as he became president, he literally started going well beyond the boundaries of the Constitution, and he did it deliberately. And then when Taft took over, because he was done with his two terms, Taft all of a sudden took everything back to the, you know, the regular way of doing business instead of embracing progressivism. And if you read anything about why Teddy got into that race, it was because Taft was not being progressive enough. And so Roosevelt, because Taft was going to win. He was a hands-down favorite of winning the election. So Roosevelt had to inject himself to water down Taft so that Taft could not get reelected. And it was better for a progressive Democrat to get elected than letting Taft maintain his presidency or his administration, because he was not taking the country in the direction that the communists wanted it to go. So I'm telling you, the birth of the deep state was way back then. They had infiltrated colleges, they infiltrated higher learning, and they started infiltrating the party system and everything else. So when you look at the fact that President McKinley had been assassinated by an alleged anarchist, maybe he called himself an anarchist, but maybe he really was more of an operative for the deep state. If you know, and the reason I started thinking about this is if you hadn't noticed, they're releasing more information regarding Kennedy's assassination. Now, so let's move forward. As Roosevelt unseated Taft, because Taft had to go. Either they were going to kill him, and because Taft was not a traveler like McKinley. McKinley traveled a lot. And so not as much as Harding, but McKinley traveled a lot. And so they didn't have their way of getting a hold of Taft, so they had to beat him at the polls. And that's exactly what they did by having a former president compete for the Republican ticket so that the Democrat would win, because Wilson had no chance in winning. He had no chance at all in winning. And because he did win, then the progressive agenda moved forward. Here's the interesting thing. If you look at what happened after Wilson, who became president? Harding. And what happened to Harding after his president or during his presidency? Here was another president that was traveling a lot. What happened? Well, he had a heart attack. Did he have a heart attack? Do you know what happens to someone when they take cyanide? I want you to think about that. Cyanide masks itself, and when somebody sees somebody suffering from cyanide, they clutch at their chest, they have chest pains, and so forth. One would think, if you weren't familiar and if you didn't have the autopsy capabilities, one would think if somebody was dying from cyanide poisoning, and there are other types of poisons that have very similar effects, that one would just classify Harding's death as a heart attack. Why would they kill Harding? Because they knew Coolidge was a progressive and Harding was not a progressive. Remember, I told you Coolidge was the one that actually supported the labor movement and was the one that called for the amendment to the Constitution in establishing the federal government's control over childhood labor. Are you starting to see that even though this all, seems like these just outlier events, I don't think that they were all outlier events. It all started happening when the communists came into America and started penetrating all of these different societies. By the time McCarthy came along, and I know by just using that word, everybody's going to go, oh, you know, he was a little rabid. By the time McCarthy came along, it wasn't whether McCarthy was right or wrong. He was too late. There was no way what he was doing was going to be able to succeed in overcoming or outdoing the communist movement in America. What he should have done is what I am calling for. If he would have called for an audit of the Constitution and went down to the states and said, hey, look, states, you know, we can't do this. We have no authority to correct ourselves and to fix ourselves. Even though we could do that, somebody else could come along and say, oh, well, you know, why can't we continue to do those things that they used to do? And they would reinstitute those programs. The only way these programs like HUD, the Energy Department, education, and everything else will go away, the only way is if the states literally step up and say, hey, where in the Constitution did we delegate this authority to you? Now, I would, if you don't know, and if you haven't listened, you should listen to my podcast on reclaimingtherepublic.org, Red State Talk Radio podcast. Go there and listen, because I go through the ratification debates, the Federalist Papers. I go through the documents, and I constantly say, here it is. Here it is clear that the only way the federal government can do anything that is not within that Constitution is they have to have an amendment. They can't assume health care. They can't assume education, welfare, housing, urban development, the Labor Department, commerce. Well, those things are kind of in the... No, no, they're not. They weren't enumerated to literally regulate us to the nth degree. The only role they have in commerce is literally dealing with disputes between states. That's it. They don't have any other jurisdiction. And so anyway, I'm trying to rail here a little bit because I want you to understand. I want you to start grasping the fact that when we look at the deep state, when we start looking at the depth and magnitude, like the Department of Justice, I've read the Kentucky Resolution and the Virginia Resolution. Both of those clearly state that the federal government only has jurisdiction over the two crimes here in America, which is treason and counterfeiting. Crimes against nations and high crimes and misdemeanors on the seas. On the high seas, that's it. I mean, those are outside, those are external to America. So it is literally just treason and counterfeiting. So how is it that now they're creating all these laws and they have a Department of Justice? Well, I don't have a lot of time and I have a lot more material, but I just want to let you know that I've been talking to those folks on what is a Patriot Soapbox on YouTube. You may want to go check that out because there's a lot of chatter that things are going to hit the fan on the 5th of December. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's kind of where they're pointing. They believe that some of those sealed indictments, and if you go to my podcast page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, Red State Talk Radio, you can find a link to give you the data on the sealed indictments. They believe those indictments are dropping in December. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. God bless. Have a great weekend, and I will be back, hopefully, begging for more of your help next week. God bless.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.